and welcome to Marooned at MacBite's headquarters. Day 330! So I believe... quick check. Hang on. 330. Yes! 330! Smooth again. Well, I'm on my own. Mike is next door. Deep in something unfathomable in Excel. So, he's a happy bunny. How are we all doing? That meant he left me in charge of the chat, which meant I was in first when you least expect it, eh, Jonathan? But yeah, okay, the umpire's in. Kim, Elaine for the win. Excellent. It's not often I'm first in, is it? I'm usually on the death. But good evening to you, Jonathan. Hello, Kim. I believe that the Buccaneers won. Is that right? The Bucs, Buccaneers. Yeah, those. I believe so. Didn't see anything. Nothing. Didn't have much of the bed again either, actually. But that's why I've got a bad neck this morning. Anyway. So that was all sorted. Was it? I did hear it wasn't a good game. Not that I would know the difference. But was it a good game or not? How were the ads? Which is always the highlight over here. Hello, Paul. How is it down under? I'm liking that idea, Jonathan, about the message in Slack. Let's see if it's worth getting up for. Let me just preempt that one, Jonathan. No. It's supposed to be snowing. We've had 2 flakes of snow today. Both of them. Lola's disgusted. There wasn't snow to play with. But happy to report she's been a good girl after that bath. Do you know it took her till this morning to dry? We have had the heating on that high, so all her fur dries, that the two of us are wilting. But it's dry now. Happy to report she is now dry and still giving me a dirty look. It's cost me a fortune in biscuits. But she's coming back towards me now, but as long as I've got a biscuit in my hand. She's so cute. Hello, Alex. How are you doing? Oh, Kim's just home from the dermatologist. Excellent. Good for another 6 months. Because you don't want to leave the house in another 6 months, do you? Yes, the Bucs won. Was this good? I know there was some player, isn't there? Is it Johnny something? Bryant? Name escapes me. Anyway, wasn't he supposed to have won like 8 times or something? And that's amazing. I have absolutely no idea. Now I know how you feel when we talk about football. Not a clue. But I did hear that somebody had done something and it was all about him. So no INT apart from him, apparently. Not a good game, and you thought the ads were boring. Oh dear. So bad all round then. I did see a thing about the ads. I think I put it in, and it was like the brands were nervy about putting ads on because of the COVID thing. So basically it was like we're going to donate money to the homeless or something. Which is a bit unfortunate, isn't it, for them trying to brand the thing and sell it. But these things happen. Wow, Kim had an inch of snow last night, but it's all gone now. No, 2 flakes, lunchtime. We are being threatened that by 9 o'clock it'll snow again. We're supposed to be experiencing, and I quote, the beast from the east too. The beast from the east was about 3 years ago. We got off quite lightly, but other places didn't. We had like mini tornadoes and stuff. So fingers crossed nobody has any issues with it this time. But apparently there's lots of snow, just not here. Oh, poor Jonathan. It's been freezing today. At times like this, you wish you were in the office. You didn't have to pay for the heating and 20 cups of tea. Brewed with the eye kettle, Jonathan. Yes, but... you get a little bit of tax back, don't you, from working from home? I think employers should bung you a few per quid as well. I do. We're lucky up to a point in that if Mike was at work, I'd probably have the heat on anyway, only in the one room. But Mike's in the other room. He has, however, been in here today. He's been in here today with me. Only until he had a meeting at 2 o'clock and then he went next door. Lola's been in here all day with me. It could possibly have something to do with the fact that the biscuits are next to me. Just saying. Could do. Don't know. Could be a complete coincidence, that. And it's warm in here, but obviously we would have to pay twice over if we're going to put the heat on in another room. So, yes, and a nice little something coming our way. Can you offset it in your mind, Jonathan, mentally with petrol? Would that do you any good? Oh, no great heights to the game. Oh, dear. You're impressed by his decision-making. These that he's won, are they all with different teams or has he been with the same team for all of the wins? Jonathan! Title for the night, boiling the kettle from the toilet never gets old. I wonder if that works in reverse. Probably not. Not even with an ILU. So much information, Jonathan. Quite, Alex. Absolutely. does leave you with an image, though, doesn't it? An image to conjure with. So what else has been going on here today? I believe there was one of these press conferences. I was busy on YouTube with the panda. The vaccine thing is going from bad to worse in that they're now saying that the AstraZeneca vaccine is going to leave you exposed to the South African variant, so that we'll have to have another jab in the autumn. I thought, if this was some apocalyptic drama, you'd say, oh, this is too ridiculous to be true. And then you realise it's true. Yes. So some countries have stopped using them. But it was only a small study. And basically, the right doesn't know what the left's doing. The short version is the right doesn't know what the left's doing. Do you remember when the government said we will vaccinate everybody? And I said, yeah, I'll believe that when I see it. Because coming up to this pandemic was the fact that when people move house, they can't get a GP. A GP is a general practitioner, and obviously it's all on the NHS. And the more patients they have, the more they get paid. So that's fantastic. But the more patients they have, the more work they've got, and then the more it costs them. So there's an offset there. And I said, I know when people move, they cannot get on the list of a doctor. So hence, accident and emergency being busy. So I said, so how's this we'll contact you for a jab going to work? Anyway, they said they've done all the 80-year-olds and over, and they've moved on to the 70s and over, and if they're going to meet their targets, they're going to have to get on with it. Today, Matt Hancock, he's allegedly the health secretary, said, if you're over 70 and we've not been in touch, can you call us? I thought, this is a good way to run the place, isn't it? That's what's going to end up happening with us, I'm sure it is. Jonathan's tempting people. You are being a pusher here, Jonathan, of eye kettles. Mind you, no worse than I was with that whiteboard. That was great info on Slack. If you're not on Slack and you're in the market for a whiteboard, one of my desktop whiteboards. I got the same one Jonathan had, and then I upgraded to Whiteboard 2.0. They're all sold out at Amazon. We've caused a bit of a rush. But according to Peter, they do have them on eBay. And currently, they're £7 cheaper than the one on Amazon. So now might be a good time to buy. Jonathan, you could offset that against your tax again and have 2.0. You could put 1.0 in the toilet because you've already tech-enabled that with the kettle. It all working fine. Paul's worried how the kettle gets refilled. Oh, it's all automatic, Paul. Goes to fill itself. At least Matt Hancock didn't give them a premium number to ring. No, their GPs will do that, won't they? I'm presuming it's some central number and they'll sort you out sometime, never. But that was the highlight of today, so I thought, whatever. I think I'll leave getting any kind of vaccination, full stop, until they work out their right from their left, and then I'll have a think about it. And we'll see how that goes. So, like we've said since the beginning, sage words from Kim, 2023. See you there. It will take that long. Just thinking I'm in group 9, they're still on group 3. And now they're asking you to ring in. Madam's right behind my chair, just in case she nods off and I escape. She's cut me off at the pass. She's getting wilier by the minute. She's channeling her brother. So what else has happened today for everybody? I was up alarmingly early with a blinding headache. This was because I had to do work before I went to bed. Book club rambled on. So there was 2.5 hours of book club. Then I had some work to do. Then I finally got to bed. Did have some quilt at the start of it. Somebody snaffled it in the night. Then she woke me up. So then I finally got back to bed. Then I couldn't get to sleep. So then I picked up my phone and did some more work. This was 2:30. Then about, I think Mike got up at 5:30 and Lola decided using the bed as a trampoline would be a jolly good idea at 5:30. I thought less so, but, you know, she got her own way. So Daddy had to shoo her out of the bedroom. So she had a walk and her breakfast and a jolly old time. And then Mike came in to gently wake me up at 8:50. He has been apprised. Gently. Do not come in banging a drum saying wakey, 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 because that does not end well. Anyway, I did manage to stagger in here and the thing started at 9. But because I was in at 9, I do detest it in these online things when it's like 3 minutes past and the presenter says, I'll just give everybody another 2 or 3 minutes to get in. If I can get up, me, before 9 o'clock, then there's no excuse for anybody else not to be there at 9. So just get on with it. So there was 4 hours of glorious Excel till 1 o'clock. Then we had lunch and then I started doing my work and Mike disappeared. And Lola's been sat right next to me to make sure that I don't escape. So what about everybody else? Kim's just found our vaccination system is all on the honour system. No wonder we don't have any slots for the folks 90 plus. Do you know, I thought better of the States, Kim. I thought there would be some kind of plan. And there doesn't seem to be much of a plan, does there? It just seems bizarre. Oh, Jonathan was declared Group 6 by the GP. That excellent. You're 3 ahead of me then. At least you've got a GP. And see, in fact, your GP might decide to come out to you, Jonathan. Did you see that? GPs are getting an extra £10 per head for every patient they visit and inoculate at home. It's supposed to be for the housebound. But to be perfectly honest, like Kim said, these vaccination centres are going to be like hotbeds of infection. So wouldn't it be better if the GP came out? It would cut down on the number of people out and about. So there's £10 in it for them. It's like playing bingo or winning the lottery, isn't it? So he might come to you, Jonathan, although you might not want them there. So they've decided autoimmune problems don't get your vaccine any earlier. That's just ridiculous. Is there no way to appeal or play heck with them? Hello, Sarah. How are you doing? And after talking with your mother, Ohio's been run much better. What? Seriously? Serious question. What is happening? Because the UK is all one place as far as this lot's concerned. We have separate health authorities on a county-by-county basis. But the National Health Service is global to the country. What happens in the States if you're in like one area, like where you are, and then you move to another, like Ohio, and the rules are different and everything's more organised? Do you kind of get in with that system or are they unaware that you're involved? Who would you have to contact? How on earth does that work? Because here your number follows you around. Would you remember the prisoner? I am a name, not a number. No, here you're not. Not your NHS number. And it's all done on that. I think the NHS think I'm dead. They've not heard from me since 1992. So I'm positive they think I'm dead. But we'll see how that goes. Peaks works there and he knows I'm alive. He might give them the nod, who knows? Even people with cancer don't get it any earlier. Goes from bad to worse. Oh, Jonathan, that was good planning, wasn't it? Over the road, 4 minutes walk. He'd still get £10 to come to you. Sarah's doing well. Excellent. Having an ongoing argument with Shell Energy, though taking a breather from being a keyboard warrior. Mike had a bit of that today. He wasn't involved, but there you go. So Kim says you get into the state system where you live or have your insurance, and each state has their own insurance rules. That seems quite complicated. Maybe they'll look at that in the future for stuff like this. Good night, Jonathan. Don't escape across the road and put your eye kettle on for us. Must get an eye kettle. We've only got the one kettle and it's downstairs, which is utterly ridiculous considering that we live upstairs. I don't think I'd notice if the bottom of the house disappeared. Much prefer it up here. It's warmer up here as well. But obviously the kitchen's downstairs. Oh, and the garden for Lola. Yes. But you know, she's taken. I've actually had to put, be next to the cupboard, which is behind the door, I've actually had to put a doorstop, like a big metal one with rubber rings around the edge, which is like when the door bangs, it doesn't damage anything, because she's taken to flying into the office. The door bangs off the cupboard and in she is. Just like Mayer. He had no sense with doors. Lola's fine if the door opens inwards. But once she's in the office and she's trying to get out, she's completely flummoxed as to how the door actually works. Now, Mayer used to either put his paw around the door and pull it towards him, or his snout, one or the other. But she just stands there like, this door doesn't work. It only works one way. But you know, I said she's not overly keen on the office. She is now. It must be the radiator. She's enjoying her little self. In general, the population does not like the federal government telling you what to do. They like the state system better, as each state has its own variables. Oh, I guess so. How are we here with that? No, I don't think we feel like that, but then everything's way smaller, isn't it? We could probably fit the entire country. 65 million. So that would probably fit into one of your bigger states, wouldn't it? So, no, I think they like having a pop at the central government too much here. I don't think anybody would know anybody that local. So they'd just blame Boris and Matt Hancock. But then it's Boris and Matt Hancock that are all over the TV, so you can understand that. Not that we like the government telling us anything. If they told us not to be vaccinated, it'd all be done in a week, probably. Give up with them, I do. Now we've been in lockdown 5 weeks. It's like, when are the children going back to school? When can I go on holiday? When can we do this? And you're like, you know, really? It's going to be at least another 3-4 months, so we'll leave it alone. But obviously the papers are running out of things to moan about, so they need to deal with that. I didn't even see any tech news today. Too busy with this Excel thing that's impenetrable to me. Some modelling system or other is in there now with it. It's going on till 9 o'clock tonight. So I'm up to the armpits in other things. My board is full of stuff at the moment. You know, the kind of things like... what size is a 4K slide in PowerPoint? You know, questions like that. For reference, if you need to know, 135.47 centimetres by 72.2 centimetres, which is just impenetrable. It should be in pixels. And if it was in pixels, it would be 3840 by 2160, which is way easier to work out. The centimetres will drive me to drink in PowerPoint. I mean, seeing as though most people don't print stuff and most stuff is for a screen, it would make a million times more sense if the default units within PowerPoint were pixels. But not only are the default units not in pixels, there's no concept of default. That's it. You've got one, it's centimetres. You can change it to inches if you want, but that still would do me no good. Oh, the UK is about equal to the states of California, Oregon and Washington. Am I right? I'm guessing those. Oh, do you remember when they flummoxed me the other week? What was that one? It was down south somewhere, wasn't it? It seems really weird to me that you know, because to us it's like a big country, and then you think about yours and it's a continent. Wow. No wonder there's so many planes getting from one side to the other. We do have planes that run internally here, and people do go from like Manchester to Birmingham or Manchester to London, but way more likely to go on the train or drive. Way more likely. Mike did that once, an internal domestic flight. He went to Newcastle. And it was all to do with, there was a match on. His company wanted him in Newcastle, say like on a Thursday. And there was a match at Old Trafford on the Wednesday. And of course, we'd already got tickets. And we'd bought tickets for parking and all the rest of it. And it would have meant I would have had to have gone on my own. And it was far too late for Mike to do anything with his ticket. And it was before the time you could even legitimately pass it on to somebody else. So I'm moaning at him saying, well, can't you fly? Which would be in, you know, in the States, that would be like, well, duh, not here. He got a quote for a train, which, I mean, you could literally spend a kidney. Trains are ludicrously expensive. If you book in hand enough, or you book like a return trip, and they're both off peak or whatever, you can get a reasonable deal. But booking in hand, a train from here to London, which would be 200 miles, would be something like £260. It would be outrageous. However, if you left it till the death, and you could afford to risk not being able to get a train, then you might get that for like £30, which is much more realistic. But with this work thing, it was a booked training course and there were people relying on him being there. So a train was out of the question in terms of leaving it. So I said, right, leave it to me, Mike. All right, here's the alternative. This is what you do. So we got this silly quote for the train. You could have bought the train. It was that expensive, which was exactly what we wanted. Because I'd come up with a plan B that I wanted him to go for. The other one we got was the car, and that would be priced out at a certain number of miles at a certain rate. So something like Newcastle's probably 400 miles round trip, if not more. So call it 500 miles multiplied by like 54 pence a mile. That was expensive. Whoops. That left a flight. So I said, right, now all we need to do is to find a flight that is cheaper than driving or getting the train. And we did. So I said, right, so you put it all together in this memo. I said, then tell them that you've booked it. Because it turned out to be the cheapest way of doing it. The reason that was important was the flight was in the morning. He was at the airport at like 6 o'clock. So he could go to the match the night before. But if he had to drive 200 and odd miles in the morning in rush hour, he'd have to have left the night before. So part of the expense of driving was also a hotel. So we got a very expensive quote from a very nice hotel. So he managed to get them to agree to a flight. So I said, I'll get up and I'll drive you to the airport. That'll save the parking. So I drives him to the airport. And obviously, I couldn't actually see him get on the flight. The airport's a nightmare here. I mean, it's a huge international airport. So there's no way you can park and it be anything but obscenely expensive. But you could do like a drive through. So he heads off. It was in the days of mobile phones. So once he landed, he could ring me. He rang me and he said, never again. I said, what's the matter? So he said, he walked out. You know how they have like walkways to the plane and you actually just, you don't walk on the tarmac at an international airport, do you? They've all got docking stations and stuff. He said, oh, no, no. He said, we came out and we went round the back of like the runways across the tarmac. I said, what? You walked across the tarmac at the airport? He said, oh, yeah. He said, and then we saw the plane. He said, I think the last person to pilot it was Wilbur Wright. This thing had propellers on it. It was one step up from a balloon, basically. He said it took him 3 goes to crank the thing up. And then when he finally took off, he was like, will it stay in the air? And I think they only had seats for about 12 on it. It was virtually like a private jet. Only the 1920s version of a private jet. So this is why we don't do that kind of travel much over here. It's too nerve wracking. So I said, you shouldn't have told me. I said, because now I'm going to be worried about you getting back. Oh, dear me. Anyway, he did get back and he was safe and it was all right. It looked all the world, apparently, Kim. Now, unfortunately, he did have a mobile phone, but it didn't have like a camera like these days. I would have loved to have seen it because he got back and he was as white as a sheet. And he said he looked like Dick Dastardly. So you're quite right, a prop plane. Oh, at least he lived to tell the tale. Oh, Sarah's been on one. She says, it's really scary. You even have to put your handbag in the back of the plane because there wasn't enough space for it. It sounds like the same plane, Sarah. Poor Mike, his face was as white as a sheet. Oh, well, he did enjoy the match, though. So it was definitely worth it because he enjoyed the match. But you know what? He never did another one. He doesn't have a good record when they send him stupid places. Honestly. That was only one of many. And that was me determined he wasn't missing the match. Because what annoyed me at the time was, and I mean, it annoys me now, it's, you know, like we've got this everyday sexism and it's always the women that are up in arms. You know, he didn't hold a door open for me. Well, you know, hello, you didn't hold one open for him. You know, they seem to want it all their way. This was sexism reversed. And no one ever mentions it. And it infuriated me because it wasn't the first time. I said, just a minute, why can't your colleague go? You've got a previous engagement. You've got this match to go to, the tickets for which have cost a fortune and has been planned for months. And he said, oh, well, you know what they're like. They won't send the women. Most of his colleagues were women because they've got kids. I said, I don't care if they've got kids. If they're not doing, they're the first ones that want equal pay. Well, why don't you do the same job then? Instead of which, they want all the perks of equal pay, but not actually doing the same job. It technically is the same job. You know, I'm training this and you're training that. But it's not the same job if they never, ever have to go away overnight. And what was happening was, if somebody needed to go somewhere and it was a distance, oh, that would be Mike. And I just didn't think that was fair. The fact that we're not married, we did have a family, the dog. You know, we chose to have a dog instead of a child. That was our choice. Just as important to us as a child is to them. But that, it wasn't the other. Well, I guess they made their feelings known that they would rather not go away from home. But it was the person who was booking it. She was just so sympathetic with the other women. So they tried sending him away that night. That didn't wash, right? That was when he got the plane. The other one they did was, it was Valentine's Day on the Sunday. Just like it is this year, Valentine's Day was on a Sunday. And somebody had to be in Norwich on Monday for training. Now, February, the weather is not good here. It's probably worse in February than it is in December. Oh, I can't send any of the women away, not overnight. And I'm like, and the overnight they were talking about was the Sunday night. So he'd miss Valentine's Day. And I'm like, really? Now, I said to him, you know, there was no way out of that one. Other than us going together, which we couldn't really do to a hotel because we had Maya. So I said, it's fine, you go, you know, no problems. But, you know, Mike felt bad about that. And he was so peeved with work, I think. Something to do with, I can't remember all the details because I had one met overriding concern and they had another overriding concern. But I think I said to him, like, is it wise that you take your own car? And I'm not sure whether he didn't have kit to take with him or something. And he had to have a work car on top of everything else. So he headed off with all this detritus that he needed in this car of theirs. So it was like a big hatchbacky thing loaded up with kit. And off he went on the Sunday. But Mike gets like, he knows I'm right, that it's appalling and that the job should be spread equally. But he also has the thing of it, he has a job and they're telling him to do that. And the alternative is to walk out the door. So he's the meat in the sandwich. So I didn't make it difficult for him. I just said, take care. The weather is treacherous. So go early, you know, and amble back at your own pace. So he heads off with all this stuff, gets there okay. That night, I think this was the hotel where he got there and they'd given his room away and booked him in somewhere else. Can you imagine this at midnight? trying to find the hotel around a one-way system. It was absolutely a farce. So he gets there and he does the training and stuff, but he got no sleep because, one, they'd given his hotel room away. It took him like 2 hours to get booked in and everything. Then in the middle of the night, like 4 o'clock, there was a fire alarm. So he stood in the car park in his dressing gown. No sleep at all. And I'm doing the Fandango up here saying how unfair it is. So I said, it's a bit dangerous coming back given how little sleep you've had. So he said, but I've got to train tomorrow. I said, well, tell him to get one of the others to train. So he said, no, I've got to get back for tomorrow. So my parting words were, be careful, because the weather was bad and he'd had no sleep. Next, I get a phone call. I've had an accident. I'm waiting for the RAC. This car wasn't roadworthy, and that ended up nearly in a ditch. And Mike stood there with all this kit. I mean, he was fine, car less so. Do you know, after that, they were really sniffy with him. I think they thought he did it deliberately. I mean, nobody in the right minds is going to run a car off the road just to spite somebody. But that's all the sympathy he got. Did you do it deliberately? It didn't last long after that. He said, I've had enough of this place. Isn't it appalling, though? Another time somebody sent him away. Now, this wasn't the same company. It was to some strange installation down Devon Way. And I say strange, like in a cliff, built into a cliff face. He gets down there. And again, there was all the thing over, well, why don't the women go? Oh, because they've got children. He gets down there. He's halfway through a training course. And the building goes into lockdown. Before lockdown was trendy. So Mike's on the phone to me and said, I don't know if I'm going to make it back tonight. And I'm like steaming. Oh, what's the reason now, dear? You know, through gritted teeth. And he said, the building's gone into lockdown. And I said, well, why? Now, obviously, chemical company, you know, is it something like that? He said, no. He said, you're not going to believe this one. I thought, run it by me. I've heard it all over the years. But I hadn't heard this one. Because this place was built into the side of a cliff, the cliff top was like above it. And someone was up there threatening to throw themselves off. And they would have gone past the windows. So they had to go into lockdown and shut all the blinds and wait. And I thought, this is like a cartoon. So most of that day was wasted while they talked this woman off the cliff. So we had to stay over another night. The world's gone potty. Oh, let me have a look here. Right, Sarah. Oh, you know, Kim's been on plenty of planes. It doesn't bother them anymore. Hello, Simon. Good to have you there. How's Dusty doing? So it was Sarah's plane, train and automobile day. Did a journey in each. The plane was diverted to Doncaster, then a coach back to Leeds. And by the time I arrived, they were loading the flight back. Never made the meeting. Isn't this just fantastic? You were going to, and you left the house at 6 and got back home at 2 a.m. Yeah, you see, I don't think we've got transport quite to the level that the States have. At least you can generally get from A to B. It takes that long here, you might as well have not bothered. Oh, and Kim got the same treatment in the military because you were single. Always wanted to work the weekends and you wouldn't want to meet. Like, you wouldn't want to meet all your friends. Exactly, it's like you didn't have a life. But I mean, it was our choice to be single. You know, together, but you know what I mean. Not doing the marriage thing. No particular panic to do the marriage thing, because we weren't in no particular panic to have children. May have never minded. And the thing was, it was nothing that you could actually say. Well, actually, not on an individual incident. You know, it could be, oh, well, they particularly needed to learn about X and Mike was the best person for the job. Yeah, if you're covering your backside. But the thing was, it happened so frequently when none of that was relevant that actually I said, you know, if you ever do want to sue, I said, feel free, because even I could win that one. And I'm not a specialist in employment law, because the job was not the same job. Now, therefore, either the other's salary should have gone down or his should have gone up, because it wasn't the same job. by all means, equal pay for equal jobs, but not if you want special treatment because, oh, I can't do that little bit of the job. It's ridiculous. I did mention that in the end. Hello, Anthony. How are you doing? How's that transcription job going? Still going, I presume. Oh, no, Alex had to get a plane from Manchester to London to catch the Qantas flight that had set off from Manchester anyway. That's what I'm saying. Let's just say here, we don't particularly have all the dots joined up, do we? My worst time at the airport, because I don't fly that much. When was the last time I flew? 1984, I think. Went to Dublin. Never again. I'll walk next time. We got separated on the flight. And that was worse for my mother than anybody else. She said, stay with your father. I mean, like he'd been any use in a crisis. But he wouldn't have wanted to be on his own and she didn't want me on my own. So that was the only dynamic that would work. She'd not been on a flight since Wilbur Wright's flight. So she sat next to this bloke. And the last time she went on a flight, the seat belts were different. So it was like, put you know, seat belts on sign. So I grabbed the seat belt, pushed it in. And then there's like a bit that you pull, isn't it, to make it tight. So I did that. Dad was struggling with his, so I did his. Mum had no idea, didn't know which way was up with this seatbelt. Never seen anything like it. So she had to ask the guy next to her. Well, you can imagine on a lady where that would need fastening. She, I don't think she ever got over that. She was so embarrassed. And this poor guy, having got her in the seatbelt, then they said seatbelt's off. He said, do you want me to take it off? She said, no, I'm fine. She sat there with his belt on all the way to Dublin. Oh, no. But the funniest thing with the Dublin flights was we were going that year to stay with a very distant. I think she was like a third cousin twice removed. I'd need Kim and her expert genealogy to tell me the exact relation. But I always called her auntie. So we were going over there for about 10 days, I think it was, to see my aunt. And we were staying with her. But she was like 90. So there was no way she was coming to the airport or anything like that. And that one, I think she came then back to us the following year. So that was 84. 85 in the summer. I'm working the summer between the end of, in the middle of my A-levels. My aunt was working, mum was working and dad was working. My uncle was worse than useless and my cousin was 6 years younger. So he was only 12. That left me to go and pick her up from the airport. What a fiasco that was. Bearing in mind, she's a woman in her 90s. Now, she was savvy enough, you know, but even so, she was incredibly frail at 90, you can imagine. And so tiny, she was about 4'6". And she always dressed in black from head to toe since the day her husband died. And I think he died when she was like 38. So I'd never seen her in anything but black mourning. And that was the kind of clothes she wore, mourning clothes. So I thought, I'll check with Aer Lingus for the Dublin to Manchester flight. How far wrong can they go? This was like 12 o'clock noon. So I checked. Delay. I thought, what now? I mean, you've only got to get from Dublin to Manchester. It's not difficult. Hello, that Dutch guy. That's Renee, isn't it? We know that. So I checked the flight. It was late. I checked the flight again. Still not taken off. And of course, I'm doing all this. And I'd been in work early so I could leave early. God, if I ended up at the airport once that day. Right, the flight's taken off. I thought, great. So I'd already arranged. I'd be taking like a couple of hours off to go from work to the airport, pick her up, take her to my grandmother's where she was staying. Problem solved. And I'd go back in the evening. No mobile phones in those days. Then got a phone call back. Literally just before I left the office. So it was a good job I hadn't left the office at that stage. I've got Aer Lingus on the phone for you. I thought, well, they just told me it's taken off. Gets back onto them. Yes, it's taken off. I said, right, I'm going to the airport to pick her up. The woman said, well, I wouldn't if I were you. I thought, why? It's only like a 40-minute flight. If that. She said, it's going to London Stansted or London Heathrow. London Heathrow, I think. I said, pardon? She said, we've had to divert it. I thought, a flight from Dublin to Manchester going via London is like, really? So I said, Well, what time's it getting in, and what when's the connecting flight then? Ah, well, that's the issue. We haven't got one.
What are you doing, eh?
We haven't got one. I said, what do you mean you haven't got one? What are you doing with the people who were on the flight? Oh, we're putting them on a coach. I thought, you've got to be kidding me. A coach? What are you doing down there, lady? Not gnawing at it. My dear, of yourself. Well, I'm going mad. I said, well, how? You know, when's the coach coming? How long are they going to sit there? Basically, they were intending to transport her back overnight. She'd be getting into Manchester about 7 o'clock the following morning. I just went berserk. Absolutely berserk. I mean, that is just ridiculous. So I played the old, do you know how old she is? And she's got medical conditions card. So then I'm like, I think the least you could do is put her on a flight from London to Manchester. The poor woman eventually arrived, I think it was about 9:30 at night, on a flight. I was not having them putting her on a coach. But it took like, I mean, I was arguing with them for 10 hours. Just before lunch till the flight arrived. So I was arguing for 10 hours. And obviously, no mobile phones. I know that is so crazy these days. But I couldn't talk to her and let her know that we would still be there to pick her up and stuff. What a day. And literally, she could have walked across the Irish Sea faster. Next time, I'm getting a dinghy. Oh, so I don't have good experiences at the airport ever. No, incognito doesn't work. We know you. Oh, just hearing about my enjoyable holiday flight thing. No, I think next time somebody would have to fly over to her and then bring her over. But we were still there at the airport when she arrived, and she was so relieved because she was on her own. So if you think about it, you know, if you're young and fit, fair enough. But at her age, she was struggling to even push the baggage cart, which you cannot leave unattended. But she was travelling alone, and it wouldn't have been an issue. But can you imagine trying not to go to the toilet for 10 hours on top of everything else? Which I told them to get somebody over to her from the welfare department and sort it out. Don't leave her sat there, because she took like seriously the security. And you know, like, you might think from Dublin to Manchester there won't be much in the way of security, but given that it was 1985 and the IRA were at the height of their bombing, I can assure you there was. And she dare not leave the luggage, or everything would have to have been got out and gone through with a fine tooth comb. She'd never got a flight at all. So yeah, it's great fun. Avoid the airport. She was certain when she got off the flight, she just looked at me and like fell into my arms, sort of, I'm just glad someone's here. She thought I could have been at the airport. She was worried about us. She thought I could have been at the airport since lunchtime. And I thought, well, it wouldn't really have mattered, apart from the car parking, if I had have been. Can you imagine stopping off in the short-term car park? We've got an hour. But, you know, apart from that, I would have had facilities, books, food, whereas she was shackled to this trolley and couldn't leave it. Utterly ridiculous. And the other time where Dublin was involved was when my mum and dad went there. And it was my grandmother. No, I was with Mike, so when would it have been? In the 90s, I would say mid-90s. And my gran had this saying, I want to see X before I close my eyes, like a bucket list. And she decided she wanted to see Auntie Molly again, which meant a trip to Ireland. By this stage, I think she'd moved somewhere. Basically, she had this huge house. It was beautiful. And I think she'd moved into a smaller place by this stage. And they ended up having to stay with another relative. And it was supposed to be a really nice area. It was just behind the Jury's Hotel, which you too own. It's one of the poshest hotels in Dublin. Good evening to you, Tracy. Hello, Pete. And Mum wasn't overly keen about the idea of staying in Dublin, but, you know, if it was going to be a decent place, that was fine. So off they toddle for a week. And the first night, I'm on the phone with her, and she was just not herself. And I'm saying, are you all right? What is it? No, I'm fine. And I thought, you are not fine. I just knew something wasn't right. But it was like, oh, we've been here and we've gone there and we've got the hire car and the rest of it. So when they get back, I am still at this stage convinced something has gone on, but have no idea what. So the grand day came 10 days later when they were coming home. And by this stage, although Gran could walk, not far and not without sticks. So she was escorted off the flight in a wheelchair. And I thought, well, Dad will be wheeling Gran, you know. And my dad was really stoic. He was like not an emotional guy. So we're waiting at arrivals and there's all these people coming back off holiday. And it was absolutely a scream. The weather in Manchester was a bit on the cool side. And these folks were coming back clearly from Spain because they had donkeys with them. And those dolls, you know, the ones dressed up like the Spanish señoritas. Complete with, like, you know, straw hats in Hawaiian shirts and shorts. Without exception, every one of them looked absolutely exhausted. Apparently, someone had been on strike somewhere and it'd taken them 3 days to get back. They looked like they'd been dragged through a hedge backwards. And I said to Mike, remind me never to go on holiday ever abroad. So we're waiting and we're waiting. Anyway, the Dublin flight arrived. So I said, well, at least they've landed. Still no mobile phones. Oh, no, I did have a mobile phone, but don't think Dad had. So that did us no good at all. So people starts coming off the flight and all of a sudden the door flew open and my dad flew through it like there was a pack of wolves after him. He had something in his hand, you know, like the carry-on luggage. I think he had it all. But he was motoring, considering how much he was carrying. He spots me. He comes running over, and I mean running. Drops the lot, grabs hold of me and says, thank God you're here. And I looked at Mike and went, what the hell? Will the real my father stand up? This was not the way he behaved. He looked petrified, as though the devil himself was after him. I glances over to see Mum and she flew through the door equally as quickly. She's pushing my grandmother. Now, it was uphill, fair enough, but she was like, virtually gasping for breath. Mind you, her blood pressure was usually about 240 over 950. It always was high, very high. So I goes over and you know, she's still pushing ground. So she grabs hold of me and says, thank God you're here. I thought, what has gone on? And it turned out for the 10 days they were there, they'd kept it from us that they landed and they went to the relatives and that, parked up outside. Yes, it was just behind Jory's Hotel, most expensive hotel in Dublin. They sat down to have tea and some kids outside picked up a breeze block and started trying to batter the window of the car. It was that kind of area. Mum nearly had a heart attack. You know, like damage to the car they'd have to pay for. Dad dashed outside. They ended up having to spend, I think it was about £60 a night to park the car in Jury's. It wasn't their car, but it was a hire car, as being the cheaper option than paying for all the damage. And the entire week had sort of gone downhill from there. My mum said to them, my gran said to my mum on the way home at the airport, I want to buy you something. So mum said, what are you talking about? I don't need anything. And my gran said, no, I want to buy you a souvenir of the holiday, something to remember it by. By this stage, my mum had had enough. And she said, if you think I ever want reminded of this holiday, you're deluded. So that's why they were so pleased to see us. The thing was, like, a punchline to all that. I then said, I'll push gran, you know, might you take the carry-on, so mum and dad could just, you know, get their breath back and walk to the car with us. I grabbed the handles of the wheelchair and I pushed and it didn't move. I thought, what's wrong with this? So I tried pushing it again. Nothing. I could barely get it moving. I said, is there something wrong with this chair? So dad came over and had a look and he said, the brake's on it. I said, but mum was pushing it. She managed to push the wheelchair with the brake on it. She was that desperate to get off the plane. Oh, what! This is why we don't do holidays. Every holiday's worse than the one before. Oh, good grief. Oh, Tracy's lost track of time. That's easily done. That is easily done. Oh dear, we've got another ambulance outside crawling past. In fact, there's two of them. That does not bode well. Oh, we're back to the eye kettle, are we? Oh dear, dear me. So yes, we don't have good experiences at the airport. Manchester Airport is best avoided. If you hear we're going there, stay away. This is what, do you remember when we did that holiday and we told you everything that we were doing and where we were, so you could avoid it? And Kim kept her eye on the world crises that time. Just in case. We were just expecting another nuclear meltdown. That happened to a friend of ours. Oh, he was so funny. Every time something came out from Apple, he had to have it straight away. You know, so when iPad 1 came out, iPad 1 came out about, I think it was 3 months before it came out in the US, 3 months before it came out here. So he flew over to get one, which was fine. Got one, you know, no problem. Came back, enjoying himself with it. Then iPad 2 came out. And this time the difference between America and us was 2 weeks. So it's like, well, 2 weeks is nothing. You know, no problem at all, 2 weeks. Nope, he booked a flight to New York to get one. And of course it was like, he was so excited about getting it. Gets over there, gets on the flight to New York. And obviously you're expecting that all you're going to hear on Twitter is iPad, 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 iPad. We've got a new iPad, 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 iPad. No, no, there was a tsunami in the Fukushima plant and a nuclear meltdown. So I said, we best stop him from getting on, from going on a holiday, because every time he does, there's a calamity. But, you know, I've got to say, fair play to him. So far yet, and yes, I'm touching wood, none of our holidays have been interrupted by a nuclear meltdown. Obviously, we're working up to that with everything else that's happened. But at the moment, not yet. Not yet. Only waiting for the day, though. Oh, Renee has that problem with Apple too. Want it all. I would love a Mac Pro with the monitor. Only I'd want like three of them. So that's going to be, I could not grow kidneys fast enough to afford that. So that's out of the question because it's too expensive. Actually, the AirPods Max, I'm not overly bothered with. But that might be because I've not seen or tried them on. That's usually my point of failure. Like, I don't want that. Don't be ridiculous. Oh, my. How much is it? Right, there's a credit card. That's usually what happens. In fact, we once went in the Apple store and I was buying some AirPods. And Mike hadn't been bothered in the slightest. I'm like, when the new AirPods come out, I'm having them. So not the AirPods Pro, the one before that, AirPods 2. So I didn't pre-order them or anything. And I said, do you fancy a trip out? Mike said, what are you thinking of? I said, it's launch day for the AirPods. I think I'll go and have a look at them. So we went down to the Trafford Centre and I think it was £199. That rings a bell. So gets down there. That was another everyday sexism moment when I said what I wanted and the guy started talking to Mike and Mike just looked at me and said, don't talk to me, she's the one buying them. And I said to him, everyday sexism, alive and well, I see. Well, he went white because obviously if you complained about that, Apple are like the poster child for diversity. So the thing was, it's like, okay, so there's your AirPods. So they came out in a box and literally you just have to put your Apple Watch against the point of sale device and you're done. Mike's then gazing at them and decides he'll have a pair as well. £400 spent in the blink of an eye. Didn't even have to get the credit card out of the wallet. So yeah, it's dangerous at the Apple store. Dangerous. I'm sure if I saw the headphones and tried them on and sound and, you know, heard them, I'd probably want some. So very, very fortunate Apple store's shut at the moment, isn't it? Otherwise I'd be buying those as well. Do you know who else might have a problem like that? Pete, have you bought anything else? No, you've avoided buying Apple for a while. Just exchange contracts on the house. Oh, but you've lost your first gen Apple Pencil. Oh, no. Seriously, you've actually lost it. I mean, you see, this was the one that wasn't magnetic, wasn't it? I put some, like, very weird tape on that. Pink tape, don't ask. I had two of them. So I was differentiating one from the other, but it made it easier to find. But I put mine into, like, a zippy case. So it's I don't even try and keep it with the iPad. That way madness lies. And to be honest, Pete, Apple Pencil 2, not much better. Yes, it will clip to it, like magnetized, but you put it in a case or anything and it falls off. Wasn't it Tracy that said that as well? It's not just me, apparently. Not just me with that. It's when you're working with it, you pick it up off your desk, it's strong enough. But if you put it in like a bag or a case or something like that, I guarantee you that pencil will fall off. Oh, yes, lost it. You suspect the kids were involved. Oh, dear. But doesn't that give you kind of brownie points with Mrs. Pete? If the kids lost it, then it's not your fault and thus it should be replaced out of household funds. That would be the ruling here if Lola ate it. Oh, the replacement tip for the pencil you recommended is wonderful. When Apple Pencil 1, when that was the only one that was there, I used to, people would look at it and say, what's that? And I'd say, oh, it's the Apple Pencil Pro. Because the top was useless. It didn't do anything. I mean, I know underneath it you've got the charging thing, but you've got this kind of plastic knob on it that did absolutely nothing. And there are times when I'm doing demonstrations, particularly, I didn't want the tap, tap, tap with it. And I thought, I wonder if you can get something to put on the end. And when I looked, they were actually proper ends and they fitted perfectly. I think there was three in the box. Now, that was handy because I had two pencils and Mike had one. So when he tried it, he said, this is perfect. Perfect for demos for us. So we bought another box of three just in case, because it's the kind of thing you might lose. But I've not managed to lose the entire pencil, Pete. You've trumped me on that one. Lost those. Anyway, congratulations on exchanging contracts. Shouldn't be long now, should it? Oh, Renee dropped a new pencil and had to buy a new one. I have dropped it a couple of times, but luckily it's been all right. And Lola's not grabbed for it. In fact, Lola surpassed herself today. When Maya was young, my father, being the lunatic that he was, decided it'd be fun. My dad needed locking up. To show Maya that there was a tissue in his pocket and get Maya to grab it as a puppy, which was the most stupid manoeuvre he ever made. Nobody could have a hanky anywhere in the house without Maya nicking it. Anyway, I went out of the office today. Lola was in there on her own and the door kind of closes over and I knew she'd be fine for like 2 minutes. So I came back in. There was a tissue on the floor that had fallen out of the bin and she was just looking at it as though, oh, I'm not picking it up. You dropped it. The difference in dogs, they're amazing. Oh. Not much chance of it falling off here. Oh, okay, Tracy, excellent. What sort of case have you got it on? Should have looked after it better, more like. Oh, that's cruel. That's cruel. Right, what Tracy's link? Let me have a look at that. Putting it in. Going now. Oh, that's amazing. Good grief. That looks like the S&M of cases, Tracy. That is cool. Is that pencil one? No, it's pencil two, is it? That must be pencil two. Because there's no thing on the bottom, is there? And, oh, I put mine in the other way round, you know. I have the thing pointing towards the bottom. Mind you, that might be the bottom, I don't know. No, not if it's on that side. That is one heck of a case. That's like an indestructible case. Mine's more of a thin gel thing. No, actually, on iPad 11-inch, it's a rip-off of one of the Apple cases. So it's quite thin. It's magnetic on the back. And then the front's got that kind of triple fold affair on it. I can't say I'm in love with the case. It's adequate. It's all right. Don't need a keyboard on it, though. So I didn't bother with that one. I think I paid about £7. And it was the one when the Apple one came out, and I think it was about 100, and the other one was 160 with the keyboard. It was criminal. Let's just say it was totally criminal. Anthony's never bothered with the pencil. You thought you'd lose it within a week. It's the expense that kind of stops you doing that. Let's just say that. Oh, Renee replaced pencil 2 because it dropped on the tip. Ooh. Afterwards, you replace the tip and it works wonderful. Now you've got 2 pencils. Yeah, they do ship 2 things, don't they? 2 tips with it. I think I had 2 with the first pencil and 2 with the second, because I had 2 pencil 1s, because I had 2 iPads that needed a pencil. And then I got the pencil 2, and I think that came with 2. So I've put them all together. I think in one of the very early after hours, either after hours 1 or after hours 2, I did a deep dive on what was in the pencil case. There is all sorts. The other day, you know the TV cameras we have around the house? The CCTV. Well, we're waiting for a delivery, so I put it on. And I turned the sound off, but it never turns down totally. And it's not that loud, but it's loud enough to be annoying. And it had gone on for about 3 days. And Mike said, "What's that noise?" I said, "It's the cameras. You know, I've got the camera monitor on." And then I said, "Oh, I'll deal with it." And he said, "It's fine." I said, "No." He said, "Well, just turn it off." I said, "It's down as low as it'll go." So I grabbed my pencil case, my Apple pencil case, and in there is every little connector known to man. So there's the charging cable in there. There's adapters in there. There is lightning to audio port cables, USB-C to audio cables. And what I actually picked up was an adapter. In fact, it's totally, you wouldn't need it apart from one thing. It is the audio 3.5mm jack with the 3 bands on it. And it goes into the audio port on the older iPads that have still got them. And at the other end, it's exactly the same. It's just a complete pass-through. It doesn't do anything. Apart from physically, the end of it is small. So if you've got a case on where you can't get the headphones in, this thing is as skinny as you can get. So I bought 10 of them and I left them in the pencil thing. So I managed to just grab one out and shove it in. I said, "Right, shut up now." Mike went, "What's that?" So I said, "Oh, it's this adapter, you know, and I would use it for the case." I said, "But majority of the time in the house, I plug it in to shut things up." So the computers that are not our primary computers, there may be occasions where you need to have audio playing for something that you're doing, but you don't want to hear it. So you plug one of these things in and you just don't plug anything into it. And the computer thinks it's got speakers, but you don't have to hear anything. "Oh, can I get one of those?" I said, "Well, you best have one of mine." And he said, "No, I'll get one from Amazon." I said, "You won't, because they're shipping 10. Do you want 10? So he took one of mine. So now I silence devices like that. Just stick out the side, but there you go. Ooh, another case. Let me have a look at these cases. These cases look indestructible. This is what I need, an indestructible case. Mind you, mine hardly ever move, do they? Ooh, that's nice. I got red for the iPad second gen. Yeah, it's got a tray in, hasn't it? There wasn't much to choose from when I got mine. There was nothing like that. Probably because I ordered the case before the iPad actually shipped. But that case is actually for the iPad that I've got, the 2018 one. So yeah, that's quite nice, isn't it? I wouldn't recommend the case that I got if you want to travel with it with your pencil, because the pencil will drop off. And yet it feels quite, when you it twangs to the side, you think that won't move. But it does. It does in your bag. So if you're traveling with it, I wouldn't mention that. No spare tip with your pencil. Why? You did check the box, didn't you? They're underneath. It ships in like some kind of plasticky, foamy thing. But you can lift that out and they're underneath in a bag. So if you've still got the box, have a look. No, mine came with spares. Definitely. Because, let me think, there was a fiasco with that. Oh, I remember. Got Mike into trouble, that did. This is a classic. We were looking, we were waiting for the event, and the event came round, and I said, I'll get an iPad. Anyway, Mike disappeared. Mike was doing something. And I thought, well, he's got the credit card. So I was thinking about it. So I thought, yeah, I'll order that. Working on the principle, you can always cancel it anyway. So I said, right, I'll order it. So comes to order it, and it had gone on back order. Literally in 2 minutes, it had gone on back order. So I said to him, you know, the least you could do is be here when I'm trying to make a decision on this so we can sort credit cards out. So by that time, it was too late. And I refused point blank to order it unless it was arriving that day. Now, the odds were you would probably get your hands on an iPad. But the odds were you probably wouldn't get your hands on a pencil too on launch day. So we spent the rest of the night not speaking. Well, I had plenty to say. Mike deemed it wise not to say anything at all. So that was that until the following morning. So the following morning comes round. He gets up for work as usual, about 5:30. Disappears, does whatever he does. Don't think we had Lola with us that weekend because it was before she joined us full time. Anyway, he crawls back into the bedroom. Very, very, very gently wakes me up and says, I'm sorry to disturb you. What do you want? as the night before came back to mind. What do you want? And he said, I've got an iPad and an Apple Pencil in the trolley, and I wanted to know if you did want one or not. All of a sudden, I was wide awake. So I dived in there and I said, what do you mean you got it in the trolley? And he'd gone through there's a portal, a different portal. And he'd gone through this portal, and on this portal, they had them. On the main Apple site, they didn't. And there they were nestling neatly in the bag. So I said, yes. And they did arrive on launch day. Yes, but don't ever mention Pencil 2 to Mike. It's a very sore point. There very nearly wasn't an iPad or Pencil 2 at Matt Byte's headquarters on launch day. And Mike's head was very nearly on the block. But he redeemed himself the day after the announcements happened. And he's never done that since. Before we start, it's like, here's all the credit cards. This is the credit limit on this. Do whatever you want, just in case. Oh, Tracy's a case. That one does look very strong. Does it add much weight to it? Is it heavy? Does anybody use their iPad with no case at all? Because I don't, but on the odd occasion I've picked up an iPad and, you know, felt it, it's like, that is nice. And I love, the one that I would pick up and use by choice is the 2017 model, I think. The smaller one of the two, the 10.5, it's perfect. And without a case, even more so. But I couldn't do it. I couldn't use it without a case. I'd think, no, you'll put it down and it'll end up ruined. So all of them have got cases on, slightly different cases. But sometimes you feel it. Mike's got an iPhone from work. Never charged, never uses it. Doesn't know what the number is. But the other day he said something about, I need to look at this, and he dragged it out. I said, I'll charge it for you. And it hasn't got a case. And because it's a work model, neither of us are that bothered. And I said, you know, it does feel really nice. I said, but I couldn't put it in my pocket without a case. I just couldn't do it. And Mike said, it does feel nice. He said, but it is slippy. You know, with it being metal, it is slippy. You would drop it. This thing would be dropped, I assure you. At some point, you would inadvertently drop it. I think that's the only one that we've used without a case. No, Renee did not get spare tips in the box. Well, I don't know how come I did. But I think there's about 6 of them in there now. So Tracy says the case is a bit heavy, but it costs as much as a cheap Mac. You'd rather be safe than sorry. It does look like the industrial model, but I reckon you could drop that. I had a plastic back on one of mine, iPad 3, I think it was. iPad Cyril. Solid plastic, not rubber, solid plastic. And it had that flip round cover, the one that was on a magnet. So it had a cover from Apple, and I got this plastic back just to cover the back. Somehow I was in bed with it, and I must have nodded off with it, and it fell on the floor, and I heard this crunch, and I thought, oh no. Oh no. So I kind of very gingerly opened the magnetic screen and it was absolutely fine. I thought, what was the crunch? Turned over and the case had done its job, but the case was ruined. The case broke at the corner, but the iPad was completely unscathed. And that was literally just a cheap thing for like £1.50. So that one of yours, Tracy, I reckon you'd be fine. And in the sad event you dropped it, I have done that with one of mine, and just a plastic case, and it was okay. So I reckon you'd be okay, because that looks industrial. That looks like a really, really sturdy case. I love black as well. I do like black for the cases. That is nice. And it obviously, it protects the pencil as well. So, Pete, when you're spending more money, you're going to need a case like that so you don't lose the pencil. But, you know, it's easily done losing something that size. Maybe you could persuade Mrs. Pete that it still should come out of household funds, because it wasn't as though you left a child at a restaurant like David Cameron. That would have been much more important. It's only a pencil that you've lost, and it could do with being replaced. There you go. Pete's wondering about buying a competitor or not. There is one that I've heard good things about, but it depends on the iPad you've got. It doesn't look anything like the Apple Pencil, and people seem to either love it or loathe it. It's a very good option if you've got an iPad Mini. What on earth was the model? The only thing I noticed was it was a bit of a funny colour. It's like an orangey thing. Logitech Crayon, it's called. It's like silver with orange tips on it. Very good for children, apparently. Although you might not be feeling quite so generous with the children at the moment. A Logitech Crayon. And it's probably... What's an Apple Pencil now? I'm spelling this totally wrong. Crayon. I think an Apple Pencil's £120, isn't it? Apple Pencil 1, £90. Apple Pencil 2... That's not an Apple Pencil 2. Good God, look at the price of that. I do not see an Apple Pencil 2, a proper one. I do see plenty of alternatives to Apple Pencil 2 that are cheaper. But the Logitech Crayon is £53.99. And as I say, I have heard very, very good things about it. Looks-wise, not pretty. But it doesn't need pairing. The charging is easier. It's got pass-through charging. You just have to be careful which iPad it supports and which it doesn't. But it does tell you the compatible devices on this page. So take a look at that for those. There's nothing better than the Apple Pencil. There isn't anything better than the Apple Pencil, but this crayon thing is very much intended as like an alternative to it, and I think it's one of the few official ones that have been you can buy this thing in the Apple store, not for $53.99, I might add, but it's probably the best one if you are looking for an alternative. If you're trying to save some money at this stage, that's probably one of the better ones. But as Renee says, there's nothing that's as good as an Apple Pencil. The Apple Pencil 2 is £117.72. So it's less than half price. There you go. That's how you get it out of household funds. It's less than half the price of an Apple II pencil. There you go. I'm trying for you here, Pete. I am, honestly. I am. The crayon's a kiddified pencil one. It is, to be honest. It is. Audio's not dropping out my end. Give it a refresh. Kick it. Try that one. Oh, Kim's mum dropped a new iPad and cracked the screen. They sent a replacement. That's good going. Coming back from the UK, Tracy's 12.9-inch screen got cracked despite it being in its case in the computer bag. You reckon Mr. T packed the bag too tight? That's always a good idea to do. Blame somebody else. That shouldn't have happened, no matter how badly it was packed, to be honest. I am a little bit anal with how I pack stuff. I always make sure that the glass, it'll be in a case, but if it's in a carry bag, the glass will be on the inside and it will be facing the sponge divider in my bag, just in case. Either that or Piddle Pooch sat on the back. Oh, you know what Lola's taken to doing in the office? Nursing the cables. I had this 12-way charger on the floor, wasn't plugged in. It's from a demo the other week. And she's like looking at it, and I said, it's not a toy. So she decided it needed babying. She needed to nurse it. So she sat there with her head next to it all the time. You cannot click on the links. You're on the iPad. Oh, is it not clickable in there? Actually, I don't think it's clickable. Full stop. I think it's a security measure. So I think it's best to select it and try doing it that way. What I do is, if you've got PopClip installed on a desktop, when you highlight it, it lets you click it as a link. But on an iPad, I think you'd have to select it and then say open it. I think it's a security thing. Can't copy either. That's weird. Let's have a look. We'll grab an iPad and go see what I can do with it. Right. Do you know I haven't got my own website listed here? The woman wants shooting. Right. Let's have a look. Do you know, I do wish you could hear Lola. No matter how quiet I'm going to be, you're not going to hear her. But she's snoring. She's so cute. Right. No, you can copy it. No problem at all. Let me do that. And this. And then show it here. Oh, you're crashing. That's not good. Sign in with email. Why do you make me sign in every time I want to upload something? Because you hate me, don't you? Cloud app. Right, let's get all logged in again before you have another fit. Little hissy fit. There we go. There they all are. Right, so technically, I can go in there and get the thing to you. I think the trick is tap the HTTP and hold it, and it should come up. There we go. Uploading right now. And it should come up with a menu that will let you then select the full thing. All right, let's open up Cloud on here and get that. So tap, hold, it will select the first bit. And then you from there can select the next bit and copy it. There you go. I've got all these pictures over here being absolutely adorable upside down. What a little lamb she looks. Next to this cable thing that she's nursing. Oh, she's too cute. Oh, and she's left her new chicken in the office. Yes, now they'll hear you sneezing, won't they? Well, that's because she's upside down. She's upside down patting her paws on my chair. Yes, she's left chicken in here, but what happens is as she rolls over, it starts to squeak and that wakes her up. Tracy's mistake was to not put the screen facing the Mac inside in the bag. Yeah, I try and put glass to glass and make sure there's something between them. But I must admit, I do have enough bags for all the iPads, so they don't need to share space. And plugs and stuff, I would never put together. They always go in a different bag. That was that green bag, like a... It's not actually that big. It's probably about 10 inches by 8 inches. A double-decker bag, and I put all the power bricks in there. Because they don't... Some of them... Do you remember the ones Apple released where the prongs folded down? They were genius. But so many of them haven't got that. So I've got all these 13-amp prong things sticking out. So they go in a totally different bag with nothing else in there that would damage them. Just cables, that's it. Excellent, Renee. Glad to have fixed a problem. I can hear Mike going on about his webinar. He's actually partaking this time, not delivering. Still, he'll be in shortly. So maybe we'll be able to get something to eat then. So what day is it? It's Monday, isn't it? Yes, I've got another day of Excel tomorrow. 56 hours we worked out in 4 days. So this is my little break time. At the moment, I'm not doing this session. I did the other session that Mike didn't do. We're tag teaming this to get everything done. So still 56 hours, but that's 56 hours each. If we put them together, probably over 60. I'll try and get some sleep tonight. Well, there you go. Space was at a premium in a Ford Transit custom. You need to bring back the heirlooms. What's the Excel thing? It's a conference that I think has been moved. It was going to be a physical conference. And it's all about Excel, but like the high-level BI programming, VBA, JavaScript stuff and business modelling. So there was 2 days at the weekend where there was two tracks running at a time. So Mike was doing, I did some that he did, but I did other tracks. He was on the more business modelling tracks and I was on the standard Excel tracks. And it went on today and tomorrow. It was like, it is part of the conference. It is the conference, but you know how they do like a pre-con day where you pay for extra sessions beforehand? This one is you pay for extra sessions after. And people are coming from all over the world. So I think the guy this morning was delivering the thing from Thailand. I think it was Thailand. He was ahead of us. And the one tonight, it could be, no, it wouldn't be Australia at this time, would it? Wherever it is, it's fitting in with their time in the world. So Mike's having an absolute ball. yeah, the modelling stuff was way above me, Pete. It's like, yeah, whatever. Can you just make it do this, Mike? it's very much where they're going, not particularly where they are at the moment, more like where you can expect Excel to be in 5-7 years time. So totally bang on point for Mike. He's having a ball. One today, the presenter, his machine, they took a break. And when he came back to his machine, it had like nodded off and he had to log out and reboot the machine. So there was like 10 minutes while he was fiddling around because it was a Windows box. And all the people that were in there were like top Excel folk. And they were all saying, this woman coming in, she said, do you know, I feel like I've really found my tribe. I don't need to explain why I like Excel so much. And that was it. That opened the floodgates. When the guy came back in, they were all chatting that much. It was like, who are you? Why are you interrupting us? So Mike's had an absolute ball with it. He's already plotting and planning for next year's. Yeah, Paul mentioned it the other day. It's a good thing, but possibly more than an Apple Pencil. I think the bill was £565 each, something like that. It was over a grand. I know that much. So once I mentioned that, Paul was like, "I'll leave you with it then. we'll give you the potted version, Pete, of the stuff that's on point." There you go. So yeah, we got the whole of tomorrow. So it starts at 9 in the morning and finishes at 9:30 tomorrow night. But yes, a fair percentage of all this building stuff, I just leave it to Mike. My skills are in other areas, as he will tell you, with design stuff. So there you go. I am actually working on a little something that might be ready by Friday, with a bit of luck, that you might like to see. So I'll head off and sort that out while Mike finishes his session, and we will meet up again tomorrow, I hope. So for the moment, I'm going to say good night from me and I will say good night from Mike, and we will both see you next time. Stay safe, guys.